Hello, dear friends. God bless you. We are continuing our study of the book of Revelation. We arrived at chapter 17. Hello, Brother Joseph.
Hello, God bless you.
Hi, Angie.
God bless you.
We are ready to learn new things, Brother Joseph.
Yeah, I'm ready to learn too. Because every time we read the Bible, we get new things.
So who's going to teach then?
I hope the Holy Spirit.
Amen. We agree with that.
Pray that we'll not be around.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. All right, so Revelation 17?
Yes, we start reading?
Yes.
Verse 1.
Revelation 17, praise the Lord.
And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters.
All right, so this is...
Joseph, what are the seven vials? Who's this great whore, and why is she sitting on waters?
Right. So with this chapter is very complex, okay? Revelation 17 and 18, they actually is one big paragraph. So to make it more simple, so we're going to maybe divide in three sections.
Okay.
So because first of all, some people teach that Babylon is a Catholic church. Others teach that it is the USA Babylon because of the Americans' unparalleled materialism and perversions by which the America has contaminated the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important we understand who Babylon is.
From the scriptures.
Yeah, from the scriptures, because only then we will understand this prophecy fully. So first we're going to, first section we're going to teach about who are the beast, the seven heads, and the ten horns. And then the second we're going to teach who is Babylon. So is it the Catholic Church or is it the America and materialism.
Mm-hmm.
And then next, we're going to teach about the full prophecy.
Okay.
All right, so in the first scripture you read, we see the seven angels.
Seven vials.
Yeah, one of the seven angels who had the seven vials. So this is an angel of wrath. Okay, so because the destruction of Babylon, okay, it's a continuation of the wrath of God. In fact, the seventh vial.
Which we've discussed before.
We discussed before, and we saw that in Revelation 15 and 16.
Yes.
Okay, after the rapture, okay, we see Revelation 15, 1 and 2. After the rapture, they are in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so the seven angels come with the seven vials of wrath.
So the Christians are in heaven, and right now in chapter 17, we are still during the wrath?
Yeah, chronologically, this is a... we are heading toward the end of the wrath, the worst part of
it. The wrath of God.
Yes, the wrath of God.
Okay.
You see at the end of Revelation 16, the seven vial of wrath is being poured out, which causes a biggest, greatest earthquake the world has ever experienced. It causes the mountain to fall down. It causes the cities, the skyscrapers to fall down. It causes a great city to be divided in three parts. Which is the great city. We will see in these two chapters the great city is. And so the seventh vial of wrath continues into Revelation 17 and then the chapter 18 and then chapter 19. Okay, so it's like three full chapters. It's all about the seventh vial of wrath.
The ending of the wrath of God.
The end of the wrath of God. So this is one angel of wrath which talks to John and he says, come and I'm going to issue the judgment of the great whore that sits on many waters.
Yeah.
What is this sits on many waters?
Many waters represents peoples.
How do you know?
People, nation, tongues represent. In other words, this woman, which is actually a demon, a spirit, sits on the people of the world. Sitting on water, she's sitting on all the people.
And how do you know that the waters are people?
You can go to verse 15.
Revelation 17:15.
Yeah, the same chapter, verse 15.
Okay. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse seated, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Clear.
Right. Very clear. Okay.
Yes.
So basically this woman is sitting on all the people. Now, the first teaching I said that we're going to clarify if it's a Catholic church or if it's a... America, USA, and its materialism.
Yes.
That is international banking system, international materialism, and everything. Now, this scripture, verse 1, that she sits on the people, nations, and tongues, Well, it seems to signify a little bit more. Does it look more like Catholic Church or more like the materials of the world?
Well, that means she controls many nations.
Well, she sits on top of it.
She's above them, controlling
sitting
them.
On top. You sit on top, something is under your control.
Yeah.
Well, the Catholic Church doesn't control many tongues and nations. It has part of it, but not so much.
Well, it is spread.
The Catholic Church controls partially, very partially, 1/7 of the world, really. There are 6 parts of the world which Catholic Church does not control. 6 parts. The 7th part she controls only partially.
Okay,
let me explain that. Because the Catholic Church is about 1 billion people. And 6 billion, the rest of the world population, they're not under the control of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. The rest, they are Muslim, they are Hindu, they are Buddhist, they are communist, China, they are atheists. She does not control those guys.
Other religions, Christian religions, yeah.
She only controls 1 billion Catholics, but even those 1 billion Catholics, only partially. Because, you see, a nation is considered Catholic just because there are 60 million people in Italy. They're all Catholics, supposedly. But they're not. You go to Italy, like, there's only maybe 10% of Catholics. The others really hate the church, hate the Catholic. And the same is true. You go to any Catholic country, only a small percentage, they go to church, and you could say they're controlled. Okay, so by here it says that she controls nation, tongues, people, just about the whole world. So already we see is leaning more toward America than the Catholic Church. Okay, now read verse 3. We'll jump.
Verse 3.
Yeah, because we're going to jump here and there just to demonstrate and to study if this spirit of the devil, is it the Catholic Church or is it the America its materialism. Verse 3.
So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns.
All right.
Is this the same woman?
This is the same woman.
Who was sitting
the same
on the waters?
Demon. It's a demon. It's not a woman.
But it sits on a beast now. This woman.
It sits on a beast, and this now we're going to find out. As I said, as a first step, who is Babylon? Who is the beast? Who are the 7 heads? And who are the 10 horns? And here they are. Here we see the woman sitting a scarlet colored beast. This beast has 7 heads and 10 horns. So the scriptures, there's a lot here. First of all, who's this beast? With 7 heads. This is the same as Revelation 12:3.
Yes. Shall we read it?
Yes, please.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads.
So you understand, it's like...
the beast is the dragon.
Yeah, now it's called beast, and now it's called dragon. It's the same creature. Mm-hmm. It's the devil. So who is this? Who is this dragon beast? Read the same chapter, verse 9.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the beast, the dragon, is the devil.
Is the devil.
And he has 7 heads and 10 horns.
7 heads and 10
and
horns.
Why?
And the woman sits on top of him.
And the woman sits on top of the devil.
Amazing.
In other words, it's a demon that basically rides the devil. It's a spirit of what? Catholic Church or world materialism? Okay, now, before we deepen that anymore, let's go and study about who are the 7 heads, okay?
Yes.
And then we put the things together. Verse 7.
Put the puzzle together.
Jump to verse 7.
In Revelation 12 still?
Revelation 17.
Revelation 17. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns.
All right, you marvel?
Yes.
People
yes.
read this chapter, they surely marvel. The angel is telling to all of us, don't worry, don't marvel, I'm going to tell you the mystery. So if we tune in, we're going to understand the mystery.
Amen.
Because Jesus said in Matthew 13:10 and 11 to his disciples, he said, to them is not given to know the truth and the mysteries. That's why I speak to them in parable. But to you, the disciple, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So whether or not we understand, it makes the difference if we are the children of God or not, saved or not, disciples or not, Christians or not. If we are, then as soon as the Holy Spirit or some good teacher will explain to us, we will understand. Okay, keep reading.
Amen.
Verse 8. And the beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is.
Okay, we understand that...
It's very mysterious.
Mysterious, yeah, okay. But we can explain. We understand that the devil does not come from the bottomless pit.
All Where does he come from?
He comes from heaven.
Because he was thrown out of heaven.
He's still in heaven. It's only in Revelation chapter 12 that he's cast down from heaven.
Yes.
I think it's verse 12 over there, Revelation 12. So who is this beast that comes from the bottomless pit? Well, to understand this, we must understand first that the Antichrist, the beast from the bottomless pit, and the devil from heaven, they are interchanged in the book of Revelation. In chapter 11, 12, 13, and 17, the Antichrist and the devil are interchanged all the time because it's really the same spirit. Devil, the Antichrist, they are two persons, of course, two different demons. But in the parable, they are interchangeable. Understand? So now is the dragon, now is the beast.
Now is the dragon, the devil, understand? And the beast, the Antichrist.
So in this verse 8, you see a little bit the dragon, the devil, a little bit the Antichrist, the beast. How do we know? Because it says that it comes from the bottomless pit. So that's the devil, the Antichrist, it's not the devil.
How do you know?
The devil is still in heaven. Well, because in Revelation 11:7, it says that the Antichrist, the beast, comes from the bottomless pit.
Okay, so that's why we know this is the Antichrist. Okay.
He is Apollyon, the king of the bottomless pit. As you see in Revelation chapter 9, who leads those locusts, those demons that come from the bottomless pit, who will possess the people with the mark of the beast, Revelation chapter 9. Okay, so that's why here it's all mixed up like that.
So the beast is the Antichrist that comes from the bottomless pit. Yeah. And the devil is the one cast out from heaven.
The devil is cast out from heaven the moment that the tribulation starts, as we see that in Revelation 12, verse 7 up.
Yes.
He's cast down from heaven, and it takes over the world through the Antichrist. You got that?
Yes.
All right. So where were we?
Verse 8 we read.
Verse 8. Okay, read it again. It's
the beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is.
Understand? So the ones will be shocked, surprised, maybe deceived, maybe receive the mark of the beast. In any case, wonder and doubt, should we follow the devil or the Antichrist or not? They are only the ones who are not written in the book of life. But the ones, it's interesting, a parallel of this, Revelation 13:8. Can you read it, please? It talks about exactly the opposite of this.
Okay. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
So here we are. We see those in the book of the Lamb, which cannot worship the beast and take the mark of the beast, because they are protected by the blood of Jesus in the book of the Lamb. And then in Revelation 17:8, we see those who are not written in the book of life, who will wander. And a lot of these will take the mark of the beast.
So Revelation 17:8 is the same book of the life of the Lamb?
Well, it doesn't specify here. Here it says the book of life. And Revelation 17:8. In Revelation 13:8, it says the book of the Lamb. So that will leave up to you to make the differentiations.
Okay.
Okay.
So right. You mean you don't know everything?
Well, you know, in order to be able to teach prophecies, it's important to keep learning.
Amen.
Today I'm more silly than tomorrow.
Okay.
Smarter than yesterday, but more silly than tomorrow. So if you want to teach prophecy, you better keep learning. Absolutely.
Amen.
Only God knows everything. But the more we teach, the more we learn. In fact, every time I teach, I always get new things right on the spot, because
it's
the Holy
true.
Spirit comes through and teaches me. That's how I grow. That's how I learn. That's how I keep growing my knowledge, just like any Bible teacher.
Amen.
You know, as you teach, the Lord teaches you. Otherwise, you couldn't possibly do it. So we read 8, right? So we go to 9?
Yes. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman seated.
Okay, so we are remember the theme. What's the theme I told you before? What are we trying to find out?
We're
trying
to horns.
Exactly, yes. And because we want to know what?
Who's the woman?
Who's the woman? Is it a Catholic Church or is it America, USA?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So we see this woman here, whether it's a Catholic Church or the USA, sitting on seven mountains.
Yes.
All right. So she sits on seven mountains and sits on the seven heads, which are seven mountains. Okay, she sits on the heads, basically,
yes,
which are seven mountains.
Yes.
On which the woman sitteth.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that why they say this is Rome? Because Rome is based on seven hills, right?
Yes. Read exactly. Read also the next scripture so we can answer that.
Verse 10. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space.
Okay, 11.
And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eight, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition.
Yeah, we go deeper and deeper into mystery here, right?
Yes. It's like now, a riddle, impossible to understand.
The seven become eight. It's a riddle.
And is not, and it is, and it was, and it's... It's very confusing.
Yes, we need the Holy Spirit.
For many years, I couldn't understand what this eight was. You know, then finally,
before you go to the eight,
finally, the seven first.
Finally, one day the Lord just told me. So you want to know the seven first?
Before the eight.
Okay, so let's try to understand. Is it the Catholic Church or is it America sitting on these heads, on these hills, on these kings?
On the waters, on the mountains, on
right,
the kings.
So you were saying they interpret that this is to be Catholic Church and Rome because?
Because Rome has seven hills.
Seven hills. Okay, and many kings did Rome have?
Well, I know from your teachings that, and from history that they say it had seven kings.
Seven kings. So they say that it's Rome because Rome has seven kings.
Didn't it have much more than that?
No, it's only seven kings. They are, the rest of the 1,000 years rule they had, they were either led by the Senate or by the emperors.
They were not called kings?
No, they only have seven kings.
They were called emperors?
Because they were ruling an empire.
A king is not an empire. A king is not an emperor. Because an emperor, to be an emperor, needs to rule over other kings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like
yes.
Empire, you know. So, let's study about the seven kings and the seven kings. Now, let's try to interpret that. Let's imagine that this is Rome and the Catholic Church, okay?
Yes.
So, this woman sits, is a present tense or past tense?
Present.
In fact, in any Bible you read, it's always present tense. So he's saying here that this woman is sitting right now at least when this prophecy was given in 96 AD.
Yes.
On the Isle of Patmos by the Apostle John. So in 96 AD, when this prophecy was given, the woman was sitting on seven kings.
Yes.
Okay, here we have a problem, first problem. Now, I don't defend the Catholic Church or any church at all because I'm independent and 100% total independent and free Christian. I don't belong to any denominations, all right?
Only Jesus.
However, exactly.
Amen.
However, can we imagine that this description fits on the woman if it's a Catholic Church sitting on seven kings in 96 AD?
Well, it says sitting on seven mountains, not on kings.
Yes, that will start. It says that the seven heads are seven mountains, and they are seven kings.
Yes,
but since Rome has seven hills and it had seven kings, is it not?
In 96 AD, present tense, the prophet says the woman sits now seven hills, seven kings.
No, it didn't apply. They only had one emperor those days.
Now, just listen to me. No, that's not the explanation. The seven kings of Rome, they ruled between 700 B.C. until 500 B.C., roughly.
Okay.
By the time 500 B.C. came around, the seven kings had already expired, past history,
mm-hmm.
And that was the last king ruled, the seventh and last king ruled before 500 B.C. That's history. Just check it out. So it doesn't go that she's still sitting on seven kings. She was still sitting.
Because at that time an emperor was ruling.
2,000 years ago she was still sitting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There were no kings in Rome. They finished before 500 B.C.
It's true.
Got it?
Yes.
Now, next step.
Plus, the prophecy would have mentioned the emperors were more important than the seven kings.
Definitely. All right, now, next, because the Bible knew the language of emperors. The Bible knew the difference between emperor and king.
Yeah.
In the Bible, many were called emperors. So, now let's go to the seven hills. Now, Rome is true, it has seven hills.
Yes.
Correct. And that's why they say it's a Catholic church. But there is a problem here. It says here that she sits on seven hills. But verse 10, what does it say? Five are fallen.
One is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space.
So then if we interpret this as the seven hills, we must assume that by the time this prophecy was given, 96 AD, five hills had fallen down, maybe with an earthquake. Another one was standing. And another, the seventh hill, was not yet in existence. And when it was going to come, it would continue for a short space.
It's true.
Does it make any sense?
No.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
So when something doesn't fit the scripture, when an interpretation doesn't fit, you must always assume not that the Bible is wrong, but
for sure
that the prophet is off the track. Okay.
For sure.
Okay, so in 96 AD, how many hills were in Rome? Seven. Absolutely. You can check any encyclopedia book. And the five are not fallen. There was not only one standing, and another was not supposed to come. They always were seven, and they're still seven, and that's it. Amen.
So in other words, it cannot be the Catholic
Church. It cannot be Rome. It cannot be the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that leaves the other option. That is, it is the America and the materialism. But we will continue on this. All right. So we'll explain, I guess, later with the 80s. Okay, we don't get into that now.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, so now the seven heads. What are the seven heads?
Okay, you explained what is not, but can you explain what it is?
Yes. Here, let's read Revelation 12:3.
12:3.
Yeah.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head.
Okay, so here we have the dragon, a seven heads with 7 crowns.
Yes.
Okay,
what does that mean?
What is this? So, since we understand that it's not Rome, it's not the Catholic Church, all this stuff, there are no seven kings from Rome, so what is this? Well, that leaves only one alternative, that since we know that the dragon is
the devil.
It says here in Revelation 12:3 that on each head there is a crown.
Mm-hmm.
So that can only mean one thing, that the seven heads are ruling the world. So now, has the devil been ruling the world? Through empires.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, little kings, little regional empires, dozens of regional empires. Austro-Hungarian, the British Empire, Napoleonic, etc. But how many empires does history teach us that this world has had, like a worldwide empire? Shall we count them?
Okay.
So if you study history, you is no doubt that the first empire was Egypt, and then the
empire,
world empire, like all the known world,
kingdom.
Known world. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't know there was America, but the known world.
World Empire.
Yeah, because Bible-wise, like history and all teaching, it's always from Israel's point of view.
Okay,
the first empire was Egypt. The second was Assyria. This is history. This is nothing to interpret here. All right. The third was Babylon. That's everybody knows. The fourth was Medo-Persia. That's known. The fifth was Greece. And the sixth was Rome. Okay.
That's six.
And that's seven?
Six. The seven, we are still under Rome now. Hasn't come yet.
There hasn't been any other world empire after Rome.
But you tell me.
Yeah,
have you seen any world empire since Rome?
No.
Napoleon tried, everybody tried, Austro-Hungarian tried, the British Empire tried. Hitler tried, Mussolini tried. Did they make it?
No.
I mean, Hitler and Mussolini, they were even, the Nazi and the Fascist, they were even having the Roman salute with the stretched arm. They were carrying the same banner that the Romans legions were carrying.
Mm.
Today in American Senate, that they still have the bundle of sticks with the axe on top. If you go to the American Senate, you know, it's a bundle of stick with a band around, with an axe on top in the Senate. And those were exactly the emblem of the Roman Empire.
Mm.
So since the fall of Rome, which was 476 AD, they've always been trying to revive the empire. Mm-hmm. They haven't made it yet because it wasn't God's will. Okay, so that's it. So we are now still living in the last days of the Roman Empire. Not Rome,
yes,
geographical
they're not
Rome.
The world.
Okay, but we are still living in the world which the power, the real power, is being divided until now in the country which Rome colonized, civilized,
in that sense,
controlled, which was mainly Germany, half of Germany, England, Spain, France, Greece. Mm-hmm. And Italy. And this country have colonized the rest of the world, the important world, the rich world, the powerful world, like the United States,
yes,
for
yes,
example.
Yes.
And then, of course, Japan and China. But Japan and China really imitating the West. Like the economy in Japan is really tailored, photocopied from the West. China, too, is taking over the world in business, like that. But China is imitating America.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they're imitating the culture, but they haven't taken over yet. They're still a little regional power. So the world is still controlled mostly until now by America, Germany, France, Austria, Spain, Italy, and so on.
So basically the
last days of the Roman Empire we are now.
The beast with seven heads is the devil who ruled the world. Who ruled the human history through different world empires, which you enumerated.
Through the six world empires.
Yeah, and there are seven, though.
There are seven, because if you read the prophecy.
In verse 10, it says, five will follow, one is, and another one is yet to come.
Exactly. So in the days when this prophecy was given, 96 AD, say five have fallen. So in 96 AD, how many empires had fallen?
Five. Let's count them.
Five. You just count them again.
Yeah.
Egypt,
Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. Five.
Okay.
One is, which was the empire and power in those days?
The Roman Empire.
Rome. And one is not yet come. When it comes, it must continue a short space. That is the empire of the Antichrist, which will follow the Roman Empire, which will take over the world, which today is better known as the New World Order or the globalization which is coming.
So that's the last world empire, the seventh.
This is the seventh and the last. After that comes Armageddon, Jesus Christ, and the millennium.
Now that's interesting.
And why does it say when he comes, he must continue a short space?
Because like Jesus said in Matthew 24:22, he said that those days will not be shortened, no flesh will be saved. And God shortened the days to the limited to 42 months. And if he wouldn't come for the rapture, nobody would survive.
Hmm. Okay.
Revelation 13:5, it says it will be 42 months. Revelation 11:2-3, it says 42 months or 1,260 days. Revelation 12:6-14, it says three times and a half. How long is that? The scripture before, verse 6, Revelation 12:6, it says 1,260
days.
Yeah. So it's not that, it's the same time, 3.5 years.
So that's the short space.
42 months or 30 prophetic days each. Mm-hmm. 30 prophetic days multiplied by 42 months is 1,260 days.
Yes.
Got it?
Yes. Yes, it's starting to make sense.
Okay, so we are learning that that is not the Catholic Church.
Yes.
All right, so now the seven heads have seven crowns, which are the seven empires. One hasn't come yet.
Which is the Antichrist.
We are waiting
empire.
For the Antichrist to put it on its feet, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so the last you read was what? 10 or 11?
11, we read.
You read 11, the 8, okay? So anyway, I'll tell you the 8 is to make a long story short, so don't forget. See, after the seventh world empire, which is supposed to come very soon, I believe it could start very soon, in fact. Okay, after the seventh world empire, Jesus comes, the Armageddon destroys the Antichrist, Revelation 19:11. And then the devil is put in prison, Revelation 20, verse 3. And then what happens after the devil is in prison? Revelation chapter 20, it starts a period of 1,000 years.
Yes, the
saints rule with Christ. Mm-hmm. Verse 7, Revelation 20, verse 7, the devil is set free.
Yes.
After the millennium.
Yes.
Okay. And then what does he do? What does he say? Revelation 20, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. He deceives the world again, the world that didn't get converted, and attacks the camp of the saints after the millennium. But so he deceives the world, they attack the camp of the saints, mm-hmm. but the fire comes down from heaven and destroys them all. The devil goes to hell. So when the devil is set out from prison and deceives the world again, that's the eighth empire.
So it's the devil again.
The devil again deceives the whole world again.
And he's of the seventh.
He's of the seven. He's the same guy. He's the body which supported the seven heads. Okay, which Revelation 17:11 it says he's a and the beast which that
he was and is not.
Can you read it?
And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eight. What does it mean he was and is not?
Well, it was the five, but the five are gone.
Okay.
You know, he was, five were, but now they're not anymore. Okay, and now he will become the eight, okay, after the millennium, and then he's of the?
Seven. He's of the seven, and goes into perdition.
Okay, understand? See, he goes into perdition, why? Because after the end of the seventh empire, the Antichrist is going to form, okay, which he hasn't yet. So after the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus comes, Revelation 19:11, destroys the Antichrist and his armies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he takes the beast and the false prophets, puts them in the lake of fire, Revelation 19:20.
Okay, this is after Armageddon?
Yes,
okay.
But that's just the Antichrist, the beast. But the devil, next chapter, Revelation 20, verse 3, is not thrown to the lake of fire together with the Antichrist, but he's put in a prison, Revelation 20, verse 3.
Okay,
so after he's set free, after the 1,000 years, and he deceives the world again. So then he says here, he's of the eight, verse 11.
He is the eight.
He's the eight, he's of the seven, and goes into perdition. In other words, the devil goes into perdition only after he becomes the eight emperor, the eight devil, and the eight, not the eight head, because he's going to be the devil directly. He won't be the Antichrist anymore.
Okay.
It won't be. See, the devil has been ruling through Babylon, through Middle Persia, through Egypt. This time he rules directly.
Uh-huh. After he's lost.
He is the eight.
Oh, wow.
It comes from the seven, but it doesn't rule through a Caesar, through a Pharaoh, etc. He rules directly. He is the eight. He's the devil in person. Okay, he's from the seven, and then he says goes into perdition. So, which didn't happen before. When the Antichrist is put in the lake of fire, Revelation 19:20, the devil goes in prison, Revelation 20, verse 3, he doesn't go into perdition, he goes to prison. But when he becomes the eight, after that, he's busted. God busts him fire from heaven, Revelation 20, verse 10,
after
9 and 10, and after that he goes into perdition, after the millennium, into perdition, to the lake of fire. You see, Revelation 20, verse 10, he goes to the lake of fire where a couple of guys are waiting there for him. One is the beast, Antichrist, the other is the false prophet, which have been there for the whole millennium. Follow?
Yes, it's clear now.
Okay, so you understand who the eight is.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, for many years I couldn't understand who this eight was. Then finally, one morning the Lord told me. He said, read the Revelation 20, it's right there. Okay, so which is the last scripture we read?
We read 11 last.
All right. So then go to the next.
12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast.
Okay, now let's take a step back now, because we jump to after the millennium. Now back again now, here the stage, the historical age here is when the Antichrist forms the seventh kingdom.
This beast here is the Antichrist.
This is the Antichrist. Now read verse 13, the next scripture.
These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast.
Okay, attention. Here we are in a position, a situation when the 10 nations, the 10 horns, give power to the Antichrist and make him become their ruler.
These are the 10 horns from the seven
the
heads.
The 10 horns for the head number seven.
Okay.
Which so it says there are 10 kings.
Yes. The head number seven.
Which is the Antichrist
it's
kingdom?
It's one kingdom.
Yes.
The horns are on the head number six, Rome.
How do you know?
We know because in Daniel chapter 7, there is a fourth beast. Daniel 7 is a fourth beast which represents Rome, and that is not discussable. It's not in question. Every Bible teacher will tell you. The fourth beast, Daniel 7, there are four beasts. The fourth beast, it's Rome. The first is Babylon, and the next is Middle Persia, the next is Greece, and the fourth is Rome.
If these 10 kings are the seventh empire of the Antichrist, why are they not on the head number seven of the Antichrist?
Because at the end number seven, they become one.
Okay.
So they are
these
on the
10 kings become
they
one.
They become one. In fact, right here, verse 13, read it again.
These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Okay.
You understand? They give the power and strength. They are one mind. They become one mind.
Okay.
So, of course, they are 10 nations. They're still 10 horns, but now they are united, forming the globalized government which is coming.
Okay. And you're saying they are on the head number six, which is Rome.
Yeah, which is Rome. They come from the head number six. They unite. As soon as they unite, they become the head number seven.
And what does it mean they come from Rome?
Because in Daniel 7, Daniel 7, verse 7, there is a fourth beast which has 10 horns on the head. And verse 23, 24, and 25, Daniel 7, it says that 10 horns are 10 kings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So they're 10 nations.
It's exactly
now,
the same.
Yeah, exactly. So here in Revelation 17, we see the devil, seven heads. Rome is the head number six with the horns. How do we know? Because Daniel 7, 7 says that Rome has 10 horns.
So these 10 kings come from Rome?
Absolutely. It comes from the geographical position where Rome was. There are 10 nations which will come and unite and elect a leader, the Antichrist.
Okay.
Now, which is the geographical location of Rome?
Europe.
Europe. Is Europe uniting?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes,
there are 28 countries.
And how come it says 10?
Because only 10 will unite.
Give power to the Antichrist.
To give power
only
to the
Antichrist.
The other will not. Mm-hmm. The other, in fact, even today, there are two-speed Europe, they call it. There are a group of 10, 11 nations, which are the most powerful. And then there is all the other second category. They don't even have the power to vote, mm-hmm. the others, for important things.
The scriptures you mentioned in Daniel 7 are actually very well explaining what you just said.
You want to read them?
Shouldn't we read them? Because they're a perfect parallel,
did
I see.
Did you find them? Go ahead.
Yes, I did.
Shoot.
They're a perfect parallel exactly explaining what you said. So you mentioned Daniel 7, 7,
where
it says that's the fourth beast.
Rome.
It says, after this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns.
Okay, 24.
And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings.
It is like the 10, he subdues 3, and anyway, so he takes over the 10, and they give power to the beast, Revelation 17, 13, give power to the beast. Verse 25.
And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time.
See, 3.5 years again.
It's
they,
exactly the same.
They is the Christians.
Yes.
Okay, the Christian will be given to his hands. We persecute them for 3.5 years. Persecution of the tribulations.
And here it shows that the 10 horns come out of this kingdom.
Exactly.
Out of Europe, which you say is the geographical location.
Exactly.
Where Rome was.
Yes. The key scriptures are Daniel 7, 7, 24.
Yes.
There are 7 horns, which are 7, with 10 horns, which are 10 kings, which Revelation 17, 13 says they give power to the beast.
Yes.
So it really, the prophecy, they fit perfectly one into the
it's
other.
Wonderful.
Okay.
It's wonderful to jump around the Bible.
Yeah, to actually put all the puzzles together from different books of the Bible.
Yeah, because here we have to jump 2,500 years ago, Daniel. And this was John 2,000 years ago. Okay, now we are 2,000 years later after John, and this seven head, the beast, is going to receive power very shortly. In other words, these 10 nations from Europe, they will elect a leader. Mm-hmm. Which in Ezekiel chapter 38 is called Gog, leading Magog, it says. Now Magog, in Bible dictionaries, many of them, says is Russia. So in other words, somebody from Russia is going to be appointed as the president of Europe and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're forming the new world empire, which we know, of course, most probably is going to be joined by China and the Muslim country. The Muslims are already doing business with Europe. The devil knows that he's going to join. He needs the Muslim in order to attack and destroy the Christians, in order to invade mm-hmm. Israel. So the devil is already doing business with the Muslim. That's why the devil is opening the door of Europe to the Muslim. They're flooding all over the countries, and basically already kind of influencing the politics and the presidents and these nations, and they're becoming pro-Islamics, as you say. They become more and more and more against Israel, Europe is. Goda?
Yes.
Shall we make a little resume to clarify? So you explained so far that this woman that sits on the waters is not the Catholic Church.
Well, I didn't explain. You tell me.
Yeah.
Does it look like the Catholic Church?
No, because it had seven hills and seven kings.
I don't want you to believe that because I explained. You read the scripture.
Yes,
the seven hills, the seven kings.
The Catholic Church.
You tell me if that's a Catholic Church or if it's America, USA. There's no alternative. It cannot be.
You haven't proved yet it's American USA. You just proved it's not the Catholic Church.
Right.
We'll get there.
We get there. Correct.
And then you explained that the seven heads are the empires, world empires through which the devil, Satan, ruled through. And you also explained that the last world empire, the seventh, is the Antichrist world empire, and that it's formed from 10 kings, which are from the geographical location where Rome was, which is Europe of today.
Exactly. You're a good student.
Well,
we ought to give you a special diploma. Maybe because you heard this
quite a few times.
Right. But you go over again and again to explain to our dear listeners.
Yeah, and for me to get dear it
brethren,
very clear.
Because this teaching is very, you don't find it very easily, and there are kinds of false interpretation, etc. So it's very important to teach it directly from the scripture.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
It. So I think I finished the first step to demonstrate.
And in verse 12, it says that they receive power 1 hour. How come 1 hour?
In verse 12, 1 hour. Well, 1 hour is a parable here. When it's allegoric or symbolic, you must interpret the significance through other scriptures. So since we know that, number one, this is the Antichrist. Two,
yes.
These guys are the nation supporting him.
Yeah.
And then he will persecute and make war against Jesus. Verse 14, read it.
This shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
So how can the devil make war with the Lamb? Because Jesus can squash him with his little toe.
Amen.
He cannot. So how is he making war with the Lamb? He's making war with the Lamb's body. Who is the Lamb's body?
His church.
We. He will make war with the church for 3.5 years. Persecution. Tribulation.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how you make war. But then he says the Lamb shall overcome them. When? In the battle of Armageddon.
Okay, yes.
Since we know that he makes war against the Christians, since we know that this war and this persecution against the Christians, according to Revelation 13:5, lasts how long?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Then by this, it's like algebra, okay? It's like by this, we know that this 1 hour is how long?
3.5 years.
3.5 years.
I guess so, yeah.
You know, another time in the Bible when it says 1 hour, it means 60 minutes. You understand? So how do you know the difference? Well, you have to see the contest.
Well, that would be good if they would have power only 1 hour. 60 minutes.
Come on, 60 minutes.
That's
ridiculous. So in other words, it's a symbolic. It means
yes. Short time.
42 minutes means a short time. All right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so we explained this. Now I say let's go back to the...
To the second step.
I said I divided this teaching in three steps. First, who are the beasts, the seven heads, and the 10 horns. We just think we covered that,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did.
I hope everybody's convinced by now, not by me, but by the scripture, I hope. Now, let's go. I said this teaching in three steps. Second step is, who is Babylon?
Yes.
Is it the Catholic Church or USA and its materialism? Okay, let's read now a verse which you skipped at the beginning, verse 2.
Revelation 17:2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication.
Okay, does it look like the kings of the earth have committed fornication, made drunk with the Catholic Church? I mean, again, let me remind you, Catholic Church control are no even to good 1 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 7 billion that the Catholic Church does not control, and they're pretty much against, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, another 1.5 billion is China, atheists and communists.
Yes.
Another 1 billion are India.
It's true.
And then and so on and on and on. Okay. So does it feel more like this represents materialism or the Catholic Church?
Materialism.
Materialism, correct. Verse 4.
And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication.
Okay, oh. So this is absolute materialism, okay? Absolute. All right, we saw in verse 3, by the way, that the beast is a scarlet color.
But listen, the Catholic Church is very, 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 very rich. So it couldn't be?
Yes,
since you're saying it's materialism?
Yeah, definitely. But it's not interacting with this materialism with the rest of the world.
It's on materialism.
See,
I mean.
The difference is that the Catholic Church sucks all this money and keeps it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They don't even share it with their own members.
Okay.
So nobody gets rid to the Catholic Church. They become poor.
Okay.
You follow? But instead it says here that, as we will see in the next scripture, people who interact with this whore become rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know,
as we will see.
Just recently.
Okay, it will be a scripture we read later.
Yeah, sorry, I took a jump ahead. Yeah.
Okay. You answered my question, I guess.
Yeah.
Just recently, we got an email actually from a sister who said, but in the Vatican, they do have all this gold and they dress up in purple and therefore it fits.
It fits, yes, but as we study later, this is like a cancer, sucks but doesn't give. But Babylon, the whore, it sucks and sucks, but also interchanges. The people do business with Babylon become rich.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's like she spreads the cancer, mm-hmm. the money cancer. You'll see, verse 6.
Verse 5,
yeah.
And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth.
All right, yes. Keep going, 6.
6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
Okay, thank you.
But Brother Joseph, this fits perfectly with the Catholic Church.
With the Inquisition,
they murdered a bunch of people. So?
Okay. You're really sharp. So listen, even though the Catholic Church has certainly been very guilty of persecuting and killing many Christians, murderers through the centuries, yet most murderers that have been killed through the millennia has been by reason of materialism, which is always the reason behind politics. It's like most murderers have not been killed by the Catholic Church. Most were killed by the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And just in the 20th century, there were 40 million Christians were killed because of their faith, and not by the Catholics.
Okay. How come you say they were killed for materialism reasons?
Because behind every politics, the real reason behind politics, behind the socialist democracy, liberals, communism, wherever politics ever existed and will ever exist, every time somebody gets killed in the name of politics, which mm-hmm. war, bombing, etc., is always because of money and materialism.
The desire of power.
Desire of power. Like World War I started because the heir to the Austro-Hungarian throne, Archduke Ferdinand, I think it was his name, was killed in Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
What was Austro-Hungarian Empire doing in Serbia? What were they doing there? They were trying to grab the land. World War I began because Austro-Hungarians wanted to control other people's land, and Serbia wanted independence, wanted to be free.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy killed the heir to the throne, and because Austro-Hungary wanted to keep Serbia, declared the war.
Mm-hmm.
He should have said, okay, fine, sorry, was correct, you killed us, we deserve this, so keep your Serbia. No, they didn't do that. All right, the office of the cheek, like Jesus said. So mm-hmm. World War I began. So then World War II, where did it start? Because Hitler said that Germany needed some space. Didn't have enough space. Germany is huge.
It's
huge. They don't know what to do with the space. But they said that they needed some breathing space. They needed, you know, they needed more space. Imagine just the whole world, that's all. So they said, let's start with Europe. You know, so behind the World War II, there was greed. I mean, if you look around, why did the Muslims want Jerusalem and Israel? They want the land of Jerusalem.
Power, yeah.
For religious reason, number one, but also they want the land.
Yes, yes.
You know, they're not happy just to go there and pray. No, they want to go there and kill all the Jews so they can say, this is to Allah and Muhammad. this land. Land means material possessions.
Yes.
Why is America bombing right and left? Because they want to control lands.
Okay,
they want in every city to have a McDonald's, a Coca-Cola. They want like a sodomite homosexual central with American flag on top. They want to control your land. Do you understand?
But this still has nothing to do with the martyrs of Christ.
Okay, but I'm saying every time the Christians were killed, it was for material reasons. Like Nero persecuted the Christians, officially because they were Christians. But in reality, it's because there was an excuse so he could continue to control Rome, the land, the riches, mm-hmm. the money,
okay,
the
yes.
power.
Yeah, because the Christians were not submitted to worship the idols and the emperor, so he wanted power.
Nobody kills the Christians because they are Christians. They kill the Christians because they have to get rid of Christ, so without Christ they can control the world. The world,
yes.
materialism.
I understand.
Okay, communism is just as bad as capitalism because it's totally atheist, is the dialectic of materialism. Like if you have a job and some money and a house, a bicycle or a car, you are supposed to be happy with just these material things. You understand? Behind every war, there is always materialism.
Yes, yes.
Or power, which is the same.
Yes.
With power, you get the material. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes.
So that's why he says she's drunk with the blood of the saints. Every time Christians were killed, is because some dictator, some demon possessed, wanted to control the nations, but they couldn't control the nations as long as people thought they were supposed to be free, mm-hmm. which is one of the main preaching of Christianity. The Roman Empire persecuted the Christians because they were preaching that it's like the above the emperor there is a God who is a God of love, a God of freedom. There is no slavery. And that's why the Hindus in India today are persecuting the Christians, because the Christians are receiving the untouchable. The lower caste, who are supposed to be poor, they are born poor, and according to the Hindu belief of predestinations, reincarnation predestinations, they cannot get out of this untouchable caste. They are so unworthy that you cannot touch them. If you touch it, you get contaminated, untouchable. Mm. So the Christian comes and says, no, you are just like us.
Amen.
You represent Jesus Christ. I'm not bigger than you, more than you, more worthy. So these poor people join the Christian church, and the Hindu is like a slap in the face. Hey, those guys are supposed to stay slave. What do you mean that Christianity makes them free?
Mm-hmm.
And so they kill the Christian. Islam, the same story. A Christian comes and tells the woman, in Christ, you're not a Muslim slave.
Yes.
You know the Muslim, they circumcise the woman so they feel no pleasure in the sex, or they wouldn't commit adultery, blah, blah, all these incredible mm-hmm. doctrines. So the Christian comes and says, no, that's not love. You know, women are not supposed to be mutilated sexually. And women are supposed to have the same rights. Galatians 3:28 is no male or female in Christ Jesus. So the women are just as worthy as the men. But the Muslims are, wait a minute, women are our slaves. So that's why why do you think they killed the Christians? Because they want to keep the women slaves, number one. And number two, they want everything the Christians have. Today, the richest countries in the world, the richest, like England, France, Austria, Germany, Italy, Spain, America, they're all Christian foundations. Like Islam, after 1,000 years of Islam, they just, it's a disaster. They're some of the poorest country in the world. They couldn't, the only reason some nations like Saudi Arabia is rich is because they found the oil, but it's not that Islam gave them anything. Mm-hmm. You understand? So you understand?
Well,
so that's
clear. So then this great whore, the great Babylon, you're saying it's the spirit of greed, of materialism, of power that has been dominating all during the world empires, the seven heads, and controlling the world and controlling the hearts of the people.
Exactly. Because, see, this demon is not a woman, okay? It's a demon.
Yes.
Maybe it's a female demon, I don't know. Anyway, it's a devil. Okay, it was called the Baal in the Old Testament. Was the worship of materialism. In the New Testament, in the Gospel, Jesus called it Mammon. In the book of Revelation, it's called Babylon. Today, it's called materialism. Mm-hmm. It's the worship of the demon of money, of power,
yeah.
of materialism. That's what it is. Amen?
Is it clear? Yes.
Well, we can go. What did you read last?
5.
Okay, wonderful.
So no, also 6. We read also 6.
You read 6. Okay, I guess we explained about the 7 heads already. We can jump to 14.
Okay. This shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
Okay, so in this, this is Armageddon, all right? In the beginning, we see they shall make war with the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? I said before, is the body of Christ. Yes. They cannot fight with Jesus. Jesus just wink his eyes, and the devil is in hell already. So what are they fighting against? They fight against his body, you and me. Understand? Just like the devil fought against Christ's body through the Roman persecution.
If you say this is Armageddon, then it makes sense that it's Jesus.
No, just a second. In verse 14, it begins with the war against the Lamb. I mean, do you see that right now the devil fighting with Jesus? Of course
no.
But he's been fighting against the Lamb ever since, right?
Yes.
Since Jesus came. But through the century, it's not directly Jesus the devil is fighting against because he doesn't have any chance. He's fighting against his body. Who is the body of Christ? I told you before.
The Christians.
And that's who the devil is fighting against. Okay, so he will fight against all the way to the tribulation, through it, and until the end of it. Then after the rapture, what happens?
Armageddon.
So read it. And the Lamb
shall overcome them.
Okay.
For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
You understand? You convinced now?
Yes, yes.
So they shall make war with the Lamb, the body of the Lamb, that's the church. Okay, and he will overcome the saints. Revelation 13:7. It says, he shall overcome the saints.
Yes.
Okay, in other words, he shall overcome the church of flesh. You and me, he can kill us. But he will not overcome our born-again spirit.
Amen.
He cannot overcome Jesus in us.
Amen.
Because we will die praying for our enemies. We will die quoting scriptures. We will die as the killers and burners. We will say, the Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
I shall not want. Die blessing the Lord. Die like Stephen in Acts chapter 7, asking God to forgive his enemies. Die singing.
Hallelujah.
Die in faith.
Amen.
In other words, he will kill our flesh, just like he killed Jesus' flesh. But he didn't kill Jesus, the Son of God. I mean, not that he couldn't even touch the Spirit of Christ inside the flesh of the Son of Mary.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So that's how you will overcome the church, okay?
Yes.
But then what happens? Armageddon comes, all right? And the Lamb shall overcome them. You see that Revelation 19:11 comes down from heaven. He repeats the same words. Revelation 19:11 repeats, he's the Lord of lords, King of kings.
But he comes physically here.
He comes physically, but from heaven.
Yes.
This time is going to be the stick on the head, and it's going to be the stick of God and the head of the devil. This time, it's going to be like an holocaust the right way.
Thank you, Lord.
All right? And then he says, those that are with him are what?
Called and chosen and faithful.
Okay, so are these all the Christians or just a few of them?
The ones who are
called and chosen and faithful.
You know, one time I was asking the Lord about, I said, Lord, because I started to preach and say, the only ones who will follow the Lamb in Revelation chapter 19, like when he comes and...
For Armageddon,
is only the bride. Mm-hmm. And then after I thought that, I said, wait a second, just how can I say that? I mean, I don't have a scripture. It doesn't say in the Bible that's the bride. So then I stopped preaching, but then he kept coming back. And I stopped preaching again. And then one day the Lord gave me the scripture, verse 17:14, and it says, they that are with him
are called and chosen and faithful.
See, this is definitely Armageddon. You see, the Lamb shall overcome them.
And this is definitely the bride.
So does this look by any stretch of imagination like Laodicea?
No.
She's
not faithful and called and chosen.
Are they called, chosen, and faithful?
No.
Aren't all the Christians called?
Called, but what do you say in Matthew 22:14?
Many are called, but few are chosen.
Exactly. Many are called, but few are chosen because few respond.
Okay, in that sense.
You all prepare the feast.
Yeah.
Everything
is
ready. Can't say, no, I bought a new donkey. I need to go check it out. No, I bought a couple of dogs. Sorry, dogs are more important than you. And that's what they are telling to God. Say, no, sorry, I bought a TV. I need to go get hypnotized every night. I don't have time to go preach the gospel. I need to go become a zombie in front of the TV. That's what they're saying. throw the TV in the garbage. Amen. That's his place.
Amen.
So this is the bride, beloved. Armageddon is only for Jesus and the bride. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us to be the bride in Jesus' name. Dear brethren, we stop here with the study of the book of Revelation, chapters 17 and 18. And don't miss next time so we can find out together who is the whore.
Amen. God bless you all.